What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I know that you can get into, actually two-part, but how you would place him, but also I am curious about Jaden and just his play against the Blitz. He's been good against that all year, but I'm curious if there's some plays that happened the other night that kind of highlight his growth.
He lives in that space of, like, intense pressure where, like, the mental chaos is raining down and it's way outside of the comfort zone. It's anything but comfortable, but for him, that's awesome, man. He loves that space. And he has the mindset that has to be implemented into those moments. And so whether that was a, you know, end of a half or an end of the game or beating a blitz, checking a protection. And I think probably, John, the one of the areas of growth doesn't always have to use his legs and athletic ability to react to it. If he can see it pre-snap, reset a protection to one spot, and then get the ball to the player, that's a big deal. And that's an area of growth that I've certainly seen. And he's just one of the best competitors I've ever coached. And so it leans into growth as well, you know, of improvement and finding ways to improve. So, but I was thinking about him today, and that spot where it's intense pressure is honestly, like, it's awesome. It's where he lives.
That was Dan Quinn yesterday on the day after press conference with the beat reporters, John Keim answering the question. You know, I thought about, and we let Ben Standing onto the show, or Washington Insider. He's with us every Monday. Mark Rippon's going to join the show, by the way, in about 10 to 12 minutes. I was thinking about, you know, like you and I had talked about this early in the year when things were going really well and they were 4-1 and then they were 7-2 and then they faced that stretch of, you know, the Steelers and the Eagles in a 4.5-5-day period playing two teams who at the moment were playing very good defensively. They lost both of those games. They were winnable games. Washington had fourth quarter leads in both of them. But then when they lost to Dallas, I remember the conversation, and I forget if it was with you, but Denton and I had it. This is the first thing we haven't seen. We haven't seen him face true adversity. Three-game losing streak. He didn't play that well against Philadelphia. He didn't play that well in the first half against the Cowboys. And he's answered it now with seven straight wins and seven straight, basically, you know, A performances, take the Dallas first half out. And then we got into the one-and-dones, Ben. Well, we've never seen him play in a one-and-done game. Well, now we've seen two of them. It's been all season long, but put it in your words, you were there on Saturday night. They're going to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, you know, whenever we're all asked, you know, at the start of something, you know, what do you think's going to happen? You know, what do you compare this to or compare the player to? You know, we have to go off of things that we have seen before or versions of history, right? So if we're here, a lot of the comparisons initially were to RG3, who had, you know, in 2012, you know, the best rookie season many of us had seen, and certainly, you know, the best, right, in this franchise. And we know how it ended, but that first year, you know, hard to knock too much of what happened. So how does Jaden compare to that? Okay, then it got to the point where, wow, you know, he's even exceeding this. He's a better pocket passer. There's certain intangible factors, and we can avoid the, you know, the calm, the poise, the better fit in the locker room, we'll just say, than maybe RG3 ultimately turned out to be. Okay, cool, that's RG3. Now you get to the next stage. Well, what about other historic rookie quarterbacks in seasons that they had? Okay, now past that. Then it's, okay, well, wait, what about the quarterbacks in this league? Where does he fit in with the rankings there. And, you know, you start, okay, well, let's not go too crazy, right? You know, he's in, you know, is he better than what Baker Mayfield's doing, the historic Dak Prescott? Yeah, I think so, but let's see where this goes. And now, going through all of this, we're now having to go outside of the NFL. I mean, I think, like, you know, for me, I think in all sports, the best rookie season that I always could remember is ironically the guy who's a part owner of this team, and Magic Johnson with the Lakers, capped off by, you know, the 42-point, 15-rebound.
Game six playing center.
And it's just like, oh, my Lord. You know, what are we witnessing here? And that is kind of where we're at here. This is beyond unprecedented to see somebody like this because, he's performing in a calm, largely mistake-free, under-control way. We don't see 10-year veterans do consistently to the degree that he is. And, you know, the other rookies have now reached the level where he is with the championship game. If you go back and look at at those seasons, those quarterbacks were largely tacked on to a really good team, particularly with really good defenses, et cetera. This isn't that. I mean, no disrespect to the defense, and they did their job the other night. The Lions had over 500 yards of offense and 200 on the ground. Teams have been moving the ball on Washington all year. And, you know, Terry McLaurin, generally aside, the offense, when we get to the offseason, whether that's next week or after they win the Super Bowl, which is a crazy thing I can say legitimately, we'll be discussing, well, where do they make some upgrades because they still need some. And yet here they are. And this kid is, you know, it's not all him, but man, he talked about the straw that stirs the drink. He's doing things that just did never seem possible for that we would say for a rookie to make that would make any sense. And he's just doing it week in and week out. It's just amazing.
No, there is no doubt that we're now in a conversation that even those of us who were bullish on his, you know, chances to even show well early, that nobody had. He is not only just completed the greatest rookie season in the history of the NFL, like you said, putting it in the context of sports, probably the greatest rookie season in the history of sports. You mentioned Magic Johnson. I'll just mention real quickly because he's local, the late Wes Unseld, not only won Rookie of the Year, but won MVP in his very first year in Baltimore. But that aside, and then also the conversation of, well, wait a minute. Like, who would you actually take in front of him? Well, nobody is the answer in the NFC. He's clearly the best quarterback in the NFC. That now isn't even debatable. What's debatable is where he ranks among Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen. And he's in that group here. And we'll have time to do this afterwards, but the team results, I think you pointed out, I mean, there have been six other quarterbacks who have made NFC, or five others that have made NFC or AFC championship games. They had, in order, Purdy had the number one defense, Sanchez had the third-ranked defense, Flacco had the third-ranked, Ben Roethlisberger had the first, Sean King had the third, Jaden Daniels right now, DVOA-wise, has the number 23 defense in the NFL and the number 26 defense against the run. This is unheard of what he's doing. And then you've had a chance to deal with the person and hear what everybody else is saying about him, and it's been positive all year. I want to ask you this. During the game yesterday, and you and I actually saw each other yesterday, Ben and I had coffee yesterday. We just kind of ran into each other in the same parking lot. Who did you want? Forget the travel for your job. Who did you think, as you were watching the Philly Rams game, was a better matchup for Washington?
Well, I guess the variable is what's up with Jalen Hurts, right?
Because big variable, yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean, like, look, I wouldn't want to face Sean McVay. I think Sean McVay figures out ways to take advantage of Washington's weaknesses without trying to over-trick everybody the way I think Ben Johnson did too often in that game. You know, Stafford's obviously, one of the better passers of all time. There was receivers, yada, yada. And their defense has obviously been really getting better and better. I mean, that would seemingly still be the better matchup for Washington, plus half that crowd in L.A. would be Commanders fans. But I go back to the point from the beginning of this preseason or the postseason when we didn't know in week 18 would they face Philly? Would they face Tampa? Would they face the Rams? And I was constantly hearing from people that there's something to be said for familiarity, to know the opponent, that you've already seen this opponent, and that can be, you know, especially on these quick turnarounds, a big advantage. Well, Washington has played Philly twice. They haven't played the Rams. So if you told me Jalen Hurts is not 100%, I honestly weirdly think it might be Philly.
I agree with you.
But Philly, yesterday's game was almost a little hard to say, right, because of the snow. It was such an odd variable. Philly's defense is, still got a lot of talent. And, the first game against Washington, which is not that long ago, but feels like 12 years ago, they kind of, for the most part, took control of that game, especially in the second half. The second game, they were winning when Hurts got hurt. And then, they were still winning until the last 6 seconds, even with Kenny Pickett. So not dismissing that at all. But, I think there's, I always use the example, and this is a Washington-Philly example, that Villanova beating Georgetown is not the biggest upset in sports, because Villanova had played Georgetown numerous times and were not intimidated by that matchup. And that's what we're looking at here. I mean, there's no way Washington, based on what we've seen already, is going to go into Philly and think, oh, no, now what? They know this team. They played them well. It's not, I get why the odds makers are making them a 5-point underdog, but I think their chances are, very strong to win.
All right, I got a minute left with you. Sorry to keep you short, but we've got Mark Rippon coming up. Sam Cosmi's out. Were there any other injuries that are concerning?
Not that I aware of. That's the only one that Dan Quinn talked about. Obviously, he doesn't have to talk about injuries until Wednesday, but he did reveal Cosmi would be out for the year. I think that's such a big one, not only because Sam Cosmi is, arguably their best offensive lineman.
Jalen Carter.
Position. Yeah, to have to go up against Jalen Carter and for Washington's backup to be, is it Trent Scott, a tackle, who they use a guard? The other options are, either inexperienced or don't play. So this is a real tough one. But as far as I know right now, Cosmi is the only one that is of note.
And just real quickly, tell everybody what that scene was like, how loud it was in that building Saturday night.
It legitimately felt like, especially in the first half, that you were in at the airport and you could hear the planes coming in and out. Like, it was incredibly loud, which is another aspect of this that Washington had, basically almost no false starts, illegal motions. Like, Jaden was calm. Like, they didn't have any issues with that, despite it was incredibly loud, which made the silence later, where you could hear Washington fans chanting defense at times, all the sweeter for the Washington side, because you knew you weren't just beating the line, you were shutting down 65,000 people who wanted you and who had nothing but bad thoughts for you.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Appreciate you doing this. We will have you on maybe a couple of times more this week if you've got time.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you.
Ben Standing, everybody, at Ben Standing on X. The Athletic, Standing Room Only is his podcast. Mark Rippon next after these words from a few of our sponsors.